For decades, Bulgaria was the most loyal ally of the Soviet Union. And this was one man's doing, Todor Shchivkov. For many people, he symbolized totalitarianism in Bulgaria. Party functionaries who didn't see eye to eye with him were cut off at an early stage. Shchivkov kept a tight regimen on the population as well. Practically every adult was a member of some sort of communist organization. The ruler was Moscow's model pupil for over 34 years. This made it all the more difficult for him to swallow Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev's reform process and his change of Soviet policy towards Eastern Europe. Shchivkov, though, could not openly express his disapproval of glasnost and perestroika. So instead of introducing real reforms, he simply undertook a few rather cosmetic changes to the system, leaving not only the Bulgarian people disappointed as a result. Shchivkov fell out of favor with Moscow, and his tight grip on control began to unwind. In the late 1980s, Bulgaria also faced a combination of growing economic problems, an enormous external debt, international and domestic criticism for its discriminatory policies against Bulgarians of Turkish descent, and rising dissent among the people. Leading figures in the Bulgarian Communist Party felt power slipping out of their hands and, with Gorbachev's blessing, forced Shchivkov to step down. The leader knew that his reign had come to an end, and that came through in his resignation speech on November 10, 1989.
Но този етап вече мина. Той се сгромолясва.
This period is over. It's going under with all its consequences. Our scheme of development here is falling apart, and no one can do anything about it.
Just days later, Shchivkov was expelled from the party and named public enemy number one. But for Bulgaria's Communist Party, it was too late. Just a week later, 150,000 people rallied in Sofia, demanding the Communist Party step down. The Bulgarian dissident movement had up till then been much weaker than counterparts in Poland, Hungary, or Czechoslovakia. But opposition parties now saw their chance after Shchivkov's departure. They grouped together into a federation called the Union of Democratic Forces, pressuring the regime for change. The public pressure forced the Communist Party to negotiate with the opposition, eventually granting them full legal status. The first free elections took place in June 1990, with an alarming result for the opposition. The communists won. Zhelyu Zhelev, a dissident who later became the first democratically elected president of Bulgaria, said the opposition misjudged the situation.
We were convinced that we would win the elections.
We were convinced that we would win the elections. We thought the situation was the same everywhere as it was in the big cities. In Sofia, Varna, Plovdiv, the former communists didn't stand a chance to organize a demonstration. But the party system of the former communists continued to function. They had the money, the weapons, the media, everything, simply everything. And the people in the countryside spent yet another year in a totalitarian slumber.
Only 1 year later, in the second democratic elections, did the Union of Democratic Forces win. But progress was difficult and inconsistent, privatization often opaque. Still today, the country is criticized for its inefficient management and chronic corruption. For a large part of the population, economic transformation has remained a difficult challenge. Despite these hurdles, Bulgaria joined the European Union in 2007. Sabina Casagrand, Deutsche Welle Radio.